MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ed Oliver is a good player. Daquan Jones is a good player. They added Larry Ogunjobi. They did work. They said, look, we need to do work on this part of the team. Let's do work. It also will help pass the defensive line if Milano can actually stay healthy for a whole year, because he's very good if he can stay healthy. You hope that Bosa is a big improvement. Obviously, they want the defense to be better and less dependent on turnovers. And if the turnovers come, then lots.
Friend of the show, Aaron Schatz there with Mina Kimes. Talking the additions to the Bills' defense, it is the offense gets all the headlines, the wide receivers and such.
Yep.
Yes, but ultimately the Bills' seasons, even with ultimately Josh Allen having the ball at the end of the games to win the games, kind of has come down to the defense.
You need to
and
be
their inability
better.
To make stops. And you know, looking back to Derek through their draft history, by the way, I haven't brought up rookie Landon Jackson, who was picked before
right.
Deion Walker. My apologies. But you look back, I mean, you didn't really get much of a contribution from Cole Bishop due to
Correct.
Injuries and not being able to catch up. Dwayne Carter as well picked up a wrist injury. He seemed to be coming on for like two games. Didn't get much from him. Solomon's a fifth round pick. You go then to 2023. Dorian Williams is a nice backup off the ball linebacker, maybe the future replacement for Matt Milano. He led the team in tackles, last year. That's good. Kyir Elam, a complete miss in round one. Complete miss. Bernard has been a hit, absolutely, and Benford's been a hit, absolutely. But then Rousseau, good, not great. Boogie Basham, not very good, and that was your second round pick.
Matter of fact, dreadful.
Yeah, AJ Bonessa, simply not good enough. A good rotational player, but as a second-round pick and your first pick of the 20 draft, you'd wanted more. And then maybe the player that, honestly, I am maybe the most frustrated at, because he was such an early pick and the last early pick the Bills have had in the first round, Ed Oliver.
Also because of his early returns. He gets that contract extension because he earned it.
He earned it.
And
he had a 9-sack season.
He has shown that he can do it. But now it seems like, do you need assistance? Like, do you need someone next to you to help you unlock yourself again?
And in reality, when I pick a guy in the top 10, you should be the guy giving everyone assistance. You're the guy that makes everyone look better. Look at the Eagles. Their big disruptor was their early pick in Jalen Carter.
Yep.
Everyone else looks very good around him, but it's because Carter looks like he might be a future defensive player of the year at defensive tackle.
Right.
He looks unbelievable.
So it is tough. Like, I still believe in Ed Oliver. But now it is, I have to change that style of belief.
Yep.
And adding more to the position is, I wouldn't say it's an indictment on him, but it doesn't look great.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he should be a fantastic player. He has shown it. And quite honestly, in the Kansas City game, he's one of the few guys on defense I actually trusted.
Yeah, funny enough, the other guy you maybe should have trusted, and we've brought this up, Rousseau, maybe has his worst game as a pro, just awful at setting the edge, and kind of was less than a non-factor, but a genuine hindrance to them.
Yeah,
they really hurt them. Did mention before the break, we have our first scuffle at Bills camp, although it is kind of just between two guys, Alec Anderson and Hayden Harris. This is coming from Thad Brown. A couple of punches thrown, didn't last long, won't be a camp without Anderson getting involved in something after a play. That is sort of his job, right? Like as the sixth offensive lineman, mm-hmm. you're kind of just there to cause problems for the defense. That's your whole job, and he does it so well.
It's so weird. Yeah, but it also makes so much sense for the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does have that nasty streak to him.
Yeah.
And offensive linemen, in defensive linemen in particular, you are hitting each other every play. The scuffle to break out typically should be in the trenches.
Oh, it absolutely should be.
Sometimes
they're probably
not.
The players more than anyone that go, I can't wait to hit anybody else.
Yes. Which is why those joint practices are oftentimes like they're a big deal, because it's like, oh my God, I could hit somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Because you're right. It's every single play. And then even without pads.
Like if I'm Connor McGovern, I'm like, Ed, can we stop meeting like this? Like,
I can understand where it gets tiresome.
It gets tiresome. DBs and wide receivers, the same thing. You are every single play. And, you know, if social media were to tell us anything about both of those positions, they're also like the loudest talkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they should be. 803-0550, the number to call. Thomas up next. Thomas, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How you guys doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. I can't wait to get done with the work week and focus on a little bit of football as we get closer to the season.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. I caught the end of the kind of the rookie discussion and these draft picks, especially the top draft picks and how they impact the team. I think, at least I caught the end of the conversation, how they impact the team right away. I wonder how much of that really, and I'm not in the locker room. I'm not coaching the team, so I'm not trying to be that hard on these guys. But how much of that is the coaching staff kind of breaking them in? When I look around the league, some of these other guys, they get them, okay, first-round picks, and they just put them in, you know, high snap counts, high downs, and they put them in and they ride with it. You know, I think about like Harrison in Arizona. He probably struggled a little bit, and you'd have to compare the snap counts. But I wonder, compared to our guy Coleman, how many plays did they play versus each other? And then when they struggle, do they leave them in there? Because I feel like, and it might not be McDermott, but McDermott pulls back on that snap count when a guy's a rookie. I think about Kincaid too. You know, mm-hmm. He showed highlights. And then it's like, oh, well, then next thing you know, he's not out there for, you know, a day or two. And you're like, what happened to this guy? And like you're saying about some of those defensive players, Oliver, Epinesa is one that he I don't really know. I'd have to look at the stats. You guys know him better than me. How much did he do his rookie year? And then why didn't he play more?
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking into the league faster. I don't know. And then get your guys' thoughts on that. Because I think about like the Eagles, right? I know he's a hell of a player, but Dejon played a ton right from the get-go, right? From the immediate impact. And I'm not saying that our guy Bishop was at all on that same level. And I believe that I'm remembering that there was an injury at Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But do we hold back our guys and integrate them into the league slower than other teams? And is that the player or is that the coaching style of, hey, I'm going to put this guy out there every down and he's going to mess up and we're going to be okay with it?
Yeah, Thomas, thanks for the call. That's been something I think people have brought up for a long time with the Bills is, do they slow play their rookies? I think the last few years, the answer would be no. Osiris Torrance has started every game at right guard since coming into the league. Keon Coleman was one of their starting receivers and then eventually got injured. But he also wasn't helping them for a little while there when, you know, guys like Khalil Shakir went down. They had to make adjustments and stuff like that. Epinesa's
Christian Benford raced.
Benford started
ahead of the pecking order, even.
As a sixth-round pick, he got right in there. The last few years, they have absolutely leaned more on rookies. Would help them in the early years of Allen's ascension. They had a bit of an older team in the sense of it was elder statesmen. Hyde and Poyer were working. Trey White was already there. Matt Milano was already there. But Edmonds as well, when he came in his rookie year, was their starting middle linebacker day one. They have slow played some of them. I don't disagree with that. And one of them, the guy you brought up, is Epinesa. Epinesa effectively had a redshirt year to get to a better playing weight. They really kind of changed how he played from when he was at Iowa. So his first 2 years, he only has 2.5 sacks total. That's it for two
Correct.
For, through 2 years. Then he's kind of found his mold now, or a mold now, which is about a 6-sack guy. He's had 6.5, 6.5, 6.
He's a rotational piece that it seems like he is who he is at this point of. He's going to give you a solid set of production throughout the season, and that's going to be pretty much it. It's kind of funny, like, you know, starting, quote unquote, with a rotational defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 years, he's started 17 games. Last year, it was 13 of them. And that's more or less, you're playing the first snap, but snap count is going to matter more than playing the first snap, for example, there. But I think it's also, there was a little bit more hope around Epinesa because of what he did in 2023, which was he had several bat downs at the line. He started to really show a proficiency for that and even came away with two interceptions and a pick six against Washington.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, maybe this guy can have a little bit more of these impact plays. We're seeing it right now. And last year, it's just, you know, more of the same of you're going to get something solid out of him, but not spectacular. And is solid, not spectacular, more acceptable when it comes to a second-round pick? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But you should be able to hit from anywhere in the draft, no matter who you are as a general manager. We see it all the time. You mentioned Max Crosby. Trey Hendrickson was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, and the guy leads the league in sacks the last 2 years. Like, this is not an accident. It's just players are who they are sometimes.
And I think with that, with the Bills.
I think AJ is, he's a safe pick.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with the higher floor, lower ceiling type. You need players like that on your roster. It is, what does the rest of the roster look like? How could I fill it out? And at defensive end in particular, they have struggled at finding the game breaker.
Because it feels like that's where they've gone. They've gone safe guys, not going to take too many risks early. Because I think that has changed. The problem is, now they've gone for more boom-bust type players. That's where you do get Keon Coleman, and even to a certain extent, like Isaac Dalton Kincaid, just looking at the offense, they're more boom-bust. In the first few drafts, though, outside of Josh Allen, it was a lot of safer picks. Not every one of them, but a lot of them. Where, you know, Ed Oliver, yeah, he's the second-best D-tackle outside of Quinn and Williams. You take him. Right? Like, just
he's the player work. Fell to you. Okay.
He's going to work.
Twist my arm.
But Rousseau, Basham, Epinesa, all relatively high floor, but potentially low ceilings, especially Basham and Epinesa. I mean, I remember sitting there with that draft after, you know, what would that have been, that Friday, the rounds 2 and 3, and just kind of sitting there going, like, everyone sort of knew neither player would break out, that they were going to be probably pieces on your roster, but that there was no high-end potential. Rousseau has a bit of high-end potential, but that is where specifically, I get excited for this draft class. It felt like their three of their first four picks were all high potential guys. Max Harrison, we brought it up a lot. He has that elite physical trait that you just don't often find at the end of round one, his breakaway speed. He could be a guy that, knowing this Bills team gets turnovers pretty regularly, they stay around where they have been the last few years in terms of total takeaways. He could play a huge part of that. TJ Sanders, the last D tackle of this class that is perceived to have any real pop as a pass rusher, there is considered a pretty hefty ceiling for him. Deion Walker absolutely is that. 6'7", if he slims down, you find out about the back injury, there might be a really special player in there for them.
And as a fourth rounder, that's a good investment to make.
They got high potential players there. Even going back to last year, I mentioned it, Keon Coleman is a high potential player. Maybe the floor isn't great, and maybe he never really reaches that potential. That's why it's potential and not, you know, what they are. It's why he was, you know, later on in the first round, or well, actually second round. And then Bishop, we talked about his measurables last year or yesterday. 6'2", 200 pounds, runs a 4.45. He might be a real problem on this Bills defense. But for right now, we don't know. He's a high potential guy. I'm glad they've gone towards that route, because I think it has hurt them in the last few years of going the safer, high-floor guys. We know they're going to be NFL players, but we don't really know past that. I think it's really hurt their pass rush. It's also why they've had to go constantly into the offseason trying to make a big swing on the defensive line. Von Miller maybe being like the most obvious one. Now, again, that kind of worked, but then he got hurt. That was going
to
work.
That was going to be the we've got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty much where it was, that, yeah, we're going to pay a premium for him, but we know what we're getting, which is still top-end type player for at least a couple of years, because the mindset was, this is the last hurrah with this core.
Yep, and he was going to be that last piece to get you over the hump, but he tears his ACL in Detroit.
Oh, my God.
803-0550, the number to call. Chris, we'll get to you here in our final segment coming up. If you can hang on, this is WGR.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.